A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after a marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Many cultures and societies allow a sacred space for mothers and children to bond just after the birth of a child. One can see here in the Feast of the Presentation that behind the religion of Israel lies such a custom known and then transformed to commemorate the Exodus from Egypt, as we read in Exodus chapter 13, and also to mark that point at which mother and child returns to society in Leviticus chapter 12. The mother's bonding with the son is of necessity shorter than that of bonding with the girl, because the son has to be introduced to masculine society, to the role models which will help him shape his masculinity. So 40 days after a boy is born, mother and child enter society, and the ordinary rhythm of life takes up again. After 80 days after the birth of a daughter, mother and child enter society, and the ordinary rhythm of life is taken up again. The ordinary rhythm of life, of course, with the presentation of Jesus in the temple, marks the end of the ordinary rhythm of life. The start of Jesus' ordinary rhythm of life is the start of an extraordinary rhythm of life for all of creation. The light of Christ is growing ever brighter until that transcendent moment of all of creation being touched by the glory of the light of the resurrection. Simeon and Anna's recognition of the light are stages towards that full explosion of light. And that full explosion of light occurred to me when a parishioner recently told me Do you know, Father, the candles that are blessed on Candlemas are the only lights that will shine at the end of time? Maybe there's a confusion of popular piety with some of the sort of more extraordinary visionary expletives that have happened in the church's history recently. And there is also a truth. The light of the candles of Candlemas, the light of the presentation of Jesus, where the words of Simeon ring out to the surrounding people, where the words of Anna, as we read in Luke's Gospel, are spread around the entire population of Jerusalem. Those point to the light of Christ burning brightly as the old ways come to an end, as a new society and a new world dawns in our midst. Yes, the lights blessed at the presentation are the only lights that shine at the end of time. We are blessed on the feast of the presentation. We are reminded that we have received the light at our baptism. We are reminded that Christ dawns through us into the world. That dawning can be painful as light is shown in dark places and in the hidden parts of lives. We see that light shining upon the church, with all its hidden perversions being brought to light and challenging us to an ongoing conversion, a conversion to embrace the light, the only light worth following, the light of Christ. To step aside from merely human expressions of authority, merely human expressions of avoiding scandal, and to embrace more fully the light of Christ, which brings light into the darkest corners, which calls every part of our lives to conversion and to integrity. We see that light through the ongoing investigation of the press into every corner and every hidden spot of our political lives. We see how politicians dislike being brought to the light. But it is necessary for the light to shine in every dark place. And the only light worth shining is the light of Christ. So yes, the candles blessed at Candlemas are the only lights that will shine at the end of time. We are the end of time as the Christian faithful. The end of the same old time, of the same old corruptions and the same old sins. And through us and God's constant call to conversion in our lives, light dawns more brightly until the fullness of the resurrection can be recognized and experienced by everyone. Amen.